So I will talk first. Ich will, werde zuerst ein bisschen auf Englisch für Neil, der extra aus Schottland gekommen ist. Und die Englisch nicht verstehen, die machen die Augen zu und meditieren einfach. Hören einfach zu mit dem Herzen und das ist ganz wunderbar. Da muss man nämlich nicht verstehen, weil man sowieso nicht kann. He has an interesting question. What about free will? With all this topic of karma, is there free will? Yes, there is.
Yes.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have any chance to get out of the cycle of birth and death. So, I mean, if we don't have any free will, there would be no chance. We could only, you know, increase our karma, change the karma in this direction or that direction, but we wouldn't be able to get out. And within a moment, within a mind, within one mind moment, one of the disciples of Lumpu Man, who was actually a very, very good samatha, had very good samatha, had very good jhanas, he could see that within a mind moment, there are 17 moments that are decided by karma, and one moment that is completely free of karma. That's how we can choose a new way. That's how we can choose to go in a new direction. But of course, if we can't catch these 18 mind moments, I mean, we most likely go the moments of our strongest karma. And the second thing that is important is we have to be aware of every moment. We have to be aware that we can choose going this way, that way, or that we can go neither way. And all of the training, or the most important part of the training of the Lord Buddha is about sati, is about this awareness. If we are not aware of what is going on, I mean, we only can follow our karma, increase our karma, or change it from one lane to the other. We can turn right, you know, if there's a street going right, we can turn left if there's a street going left, but we cannot make a new street. But with this free will or with this decision, you know, to go either right and left, and we don't want to go right or left because, I mean, it is useless, then we go just straight on. Yeah? Make a new street. Make a new line of karma. So this sati, is that what is so important? In the Buddha's teaching, he always tells us to have sati. Sati, sati, sati. Yeah? Lumpu Man, same thing. Sati, sati, sati. This awareness. Awareness of what is going on. Not within the world, but within ourselves. So when we close our eyes, I mean, there's a feeling, there might be thought, there might be memory. Being aware, there's a feeling, there's a thought, there's memory, yeah? And see how they interact with each other, how they build up this world that we call self. We constantly, I mean, if we're really aware, we constantly see how we build up our self-view. And we especially see it, how we repair it, if somebody is saying some negative or positive comments about us. Because then we use the negative comments, you know, to repair the wall, you know, that was hit by a ball or by a stone. Or we build up another tower if somebody says something nice. Oh, yeah, we have a nice outlook tower, you know, that makes this castle more, that we call ourselves more beautiful. So only sati helps us. And sati is really one of the important things. Also on the Fourth Noble Truth, that tells us to develop concentration. And with the concentration comes sati. When we do, for instance, the meditation on the breath, or the meditation on the Buddha, in the beginning it will be only the breath, it be the awareness of the breath going in, going out. And we feel the breath in the beginning. later on, if our mind gets calm, if there's no more thinking, then we suddenly, you know, slow and slow we go into the heart. Or the concentration, normally it is said the concentration drops into the heart, but actually that is not what is happening. The concentration stays at the tip of the nose, but suddenly we feel that there is the sati, the knowingness of the breath coming out of the heart. Because we get so calm, we get so concentrated, that there's the point of concentration, we feel the concentration, and sati and concentration have departed. And and sati has gone back to where it comes from. And that is actually the way how we lead the, how we follow the track of the ox. The track of the ox is the breath, and it will lead us to the ox. And that is when sati and concentration are not anymore just concentrating on the breath, but the sati will lead us to our heart. And that is the way how to get to our heart. So, really understand it. So then there will be two things. In the next phase of samatha, or in the next phase of samadhi, there will be two things. There will be the point of the concentration that is still on the tip of the nose, but all the knowing comes from the heart. And that's where we finally, in the end stage of samadhi, will drop into, because then everything drops into the heart. We will just follow the sati, the knowingness that comes from the heart, and we will become one with this knowingness, and then, at that moment, I mean, the whole world disappears. It has to disappear because we are single-pointed. We are one-pointed. So there will be no more subject and object, because of course subject and object have merged into one thing, into the knowingness. And the knowingness is the true nature of our citta. The knowingness is that, what you can call the preview of Nibbana, or is the true essence. And we can reach that for a moment, or for a while. The moment we come out, the world is just the same as it always used to be. But we know we have been at some place that is very special. Most of us, you know, want to go back instantly, go to this place that is so special to us. So this is the and that is your question, actually, you know, points into a very important point. Because, I mean, the Lord Buddha, at that time, you know, there was Hinduism and said everything is karma. And that's what the Hindus believe. So they thought, you know, I mean, if somebody is a beggar, that's their karma, and that's why they had the caste system. Yeah? And the Lord Buddha said, no, that is not. Yeah? If that would be true, you know, I mean, there would be no way out. Yeah? So he went against that belief, everything is down to karma, that there is no hope to get out of karma. And without a free will, we wouldn't be able to change the karma, because we are not able to change lanes. Except if there is a road to the right or to the left. Yeah. We can make a new way, and that is the hope for us. So it's not only the karma. The karma is there at that moment, and then we can decide how to deal with that karma. Because there's something, yeah? And that points down to that knowingness. There is something that can decide. And that is exactly what we can call the free will. We can decide, are we going this direction, that direction, or neither direction? And that makes us able to control what is coming. Normally we are controlled by karma. Every person is controlled by its karma, unless that person fights for its freedom. And the free will is part of that freedom. So we have to gain freedom. In the end, an arahant is a free person. I mean, he can decide whatever he wants. So You can follow this, you can follow that, yeah? The results of the karma will still come. But there's no reaction in his heart. He neither likes it, nor does he dislike it. But the problem with us, we get our karma back, we like it, or we dislike it. And depending on liking it or disliking it, we make new karma. But that is not true for the arahant. He gets his karma back and he says, okay, well, there are clouds today. Yeah. Next day he says, oh, well, there are sun today. The next day he says, oh, there, it's cold today. Yeah. But it doesn't change his way of living. Yeah. But for us, yeah, oh, it's cold, I need a jacket, I need a blanket, yeah. Oh, yeah, need to make fire, yeah. That's the way our karma works. But that is not true for an arahant. An arahant, you know, is free, you know. I mean, if he's in the middle of the forest, he has no fire and he has no firewood, he's able to make fire, and then he says, okay, so what? Yeah. If there's some firewood, he makes some fire, yeah, but not to warm himself, yeah, to make some hot water, yeah, to drink, yeah, or have a medicine. We are not allowed as because to warm ourselves in a fire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. That is one of the reasons, yeah. We have to stay, yeah. We have to live with what is given to us, yeah. If somebody makes a fire for us, of course there's no problem to warm ourselves. If there's no fire, you know, to warm ourselves, I mean, we cannot warm ourselves. So. And the whole purpose of training to become a bhikkhu is to be happy with whichever way the things are. To be contented. And people in the world are not contented. They are not contented when it rains for 7 days. Yeah? They are not contented when it's too cold. Yeah? They are not contented when it's too hot. Yeah? But a bhikkhu has to learn how to be contented with whatever situation he is in. Yeah? So that he learns that actually they are not. Neither this is good, nor that is good, nor this is bad, nor that is bad. We have to learn, you know, to be distanced to these things. And that is part of our training as monks. Of course, for our laypers, and, you know, I mean, there's no such training. Yeah? When you're cold, we take a jacket or a blanket. Yeah? When it's hot, you know, we take off our clothes. Yeah? Because we can't do that. Learn to be contented and see that these things are anatta. They are not me, they are not mine, they are not self. Yeah? I mean, the body is not me, it's not mine, it's not myself. Huh? Feelings are not me, not mine, not myself. Huh? Thoughts are not me, not mine, myself. Huh? Thoughts, ideas, associations. Huh? Are not me, are not mine, are not myself. These things are just things that arise, stay for a moment, change, and then disappear. There's nothing to do. We are just the one who observes these things. And as I said yesterday, we are attached to these things. We like these things, we like nice things to stay on, and we like bad things to disappear. But as a bhikkhu, or as a monk, or as a practitioner, you have to realize that you have no control over these things. That you have to be contented with whatever is coming. That is our training. Being contented. Being peaceful. Not asking people of this or that. Not trying to change our situation, but live with what is given to us. Live with what the situation is. It's a tough training for some of the people. Huh? And for some of the monks, yeah. I mean, if you live in a monastery in Thailand, you just live like a monk, you know. So, I mean, some people, you know, can take it for 2 days, 3 days, and others for 3 weeks. Huh? And then they start to like it and want to come back and never come back. Yeah. It was probably too harsh for them. So the sati, coming back, the sati is the most important thing, this awareness, being aware. And that is the only way how we free ourselves. Being aware of this moment, seeing what is happening, seeing that there's a sensation. Yeah? One of the senses has been triggered. There's a hearing sense, yeah? There's a smelling sense, there's an eye contact. When we meditate, normally there's not an eye contact, yeah? But there's a touching, yeah? and there's thinking. Yeah? Seeing that this is coming, yeah? And then follow it up. So what happens next? Yeah? What is this thing? You know, being aware. Yeah? For instance, when we see there's a thought, yeah? If you're really aware, if you're really concentrated, we see that each thought has attached a little feeling. This feeling can be either positive, negative, or neutral. Yeah? Then we observe again. Then this feeling that is attached to the thought triggers another feeling or triggers a memory. I mean, that depends on you. It depends on the situation. The memory that it triggers has also a feeling attached to it. These both feelings add up. Then a feeling comes and it adds up. And another thought comes, and another memory comes, and within one blink of the eye, there are 3,000 mind moments. So within one blink of the eye, 3,000 times rolling up, putting up the snow, creating this avalanche. I mean, within a blink of the eye, I mean, we have a really strong emotion coming up. So we see something, yeah? I mean, everybody probably knows it, you know? A person that we don't like to see, whoops, it comes up. We don't even have a conscious thought about it. Whoops, it comes up. Yeah? This emotion springs up as out of nowhere. That's why I say emotion is not something that is real. It's just like sugar candy. Huh? I mean, you have a little bit of raw sugar. You put it and heat it up, you know, and then you blow it up. Yeah. And that's what we see, all this blown up. An emotion is not something that is real. It is blown up, it's blown out of proportions. And that's why I ask you, you know, to go down to the real things. Okay, and so. Or when we get to this stage of an emotion, be it fear, for instance, yeah? Or be it hatred, then roll back, you know. Roll back the avalanche, and each turn back, you know, we see what was there, and what was behind that, and what was behind that, and what was behind that, until we come to that stone. You know, every avalanche starts with a little stone we drop into snow. And with each turn, it takes on snow. So with each thought, with each memory, with each feeling, it adds up, and it adds up. Each time it's rolling one time, and it adds up. Yeah? So, I mean, you can imagine, you know, within one blink of the eye, there are 3,000 mind moments, yeah, how fast it is. And that also tells you how fast our sati must be in order to catch that. We have to train sati, you know, to be up to the speed of light, to catch all these things happening. And then, of course, then we can stop any time. We can, of course, you know, I mean, in order to understand, and that's what I did, in order to understand this, yeah, because it's not written in any book, but you can observe it. I was observing it, you know, to a certain point, and then I understood how all these things are created, yeah. But you have to be, your sati has to be up to that speed, otherwise you don't understand it. And you think emotion is something, yeah, like fear is something that is natural. Yeah? It's not natural. Otherwise the Lord Buddha would have said, fear is natural. Yeah? There's a sixth khanda that is called fear. But there are only five khandas. The first khanda is the body, he said very clear, there's a body. Then there's feeling, it's the second khanda. No? Positive feeling, negative feeling, or pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neutral feelings. and he divided up the feelings into bodily feelings and mental feelings. He divided up to 112. I once read it, but you can divide it up, you know. But nothing, he never said, you know, angst or fear is one of the khandhas. You know, he said greed and hate is one of the khandhas. The khandhas are the tools of the kilesas, and the kilesas he divides up in greed, hatred, and delusion. Yeah? So the khandhas are wholesome feelings, unwholesome feelings, or neutral feelings. Yeah? And then memory association, the third khanda. The fourth khanda is thoughts, short form of thoughts, ideas. And the fifth khanda is consciousness. And you mix these up and you get everything what is there in the world. We know it we know it a little bit now in our technological age. I mean, we have the thing that we call computer. Yeah? The computer is actually based on two informations, on two khandhas. And you can create an amazing world already just based on two khandhas, on two bits of information. You just have to mix them up properly in order to get all the things that we see on the computer. I mean, we can listen to music on the computer, we can do some work, you know, we can see movies, you know, but the information that is behind it is just two khandhas. Now imagine what you can do with five khandhas. It's for five bits of information if you mix them up properly. That's what we see, that's what we live in this world, yeah. So to understand what is real and what is not real, that is our task in order to free ourselves from the cycle of death and birth. From this always ongoing roller coaster of life. That's why the Lord Buddha appeared and told us, dear people, dear human beings, dear fellow, there is a way out. There is a way out from all this dukkha. There is a way out, yeah, to stop the continuous birth and death, the samsara, the endless cycle, the endless circle of birth and death. There is a way, but we have to have sati. We have to develop first morality, then we have to develop concentration in sati, yeah? Right samadhi, yeah. Sama samadhi, right samadhi, right concentration. And then we have to develop wisdom. And wisdom is observing all these things that are not us. Yeah, I mean, if there would be us, we couldn't be able to observe it. That's why we can't observe the citta. It's impossible to observe the citta. Because that is something, that is the thing. That's us. We cannot observe something that is us. Because that is the one who knows. Yeah? That is the one who observes all these things. Yeah? And that's why samadhi is leading to this knowingness. Huh? And that's why when we fall into one-pointedness, into this knowingness, I mean, that is the preview of nibbana. That's the whole idea about it. Getting a preview of nibbana. Just, you know, concentrating ourselves long enough so that we get one-pointed. That subject and object merge to one point. Yeah? And that's where we experience one-pointedness. That's where we experience, like Lungda Mahabodh said, the nibbana of the little man. Yeah? A preview of nibbana. We know a preview is just a preview, it's not the real thing, because it doesn't last. The moment we come out, you know, the world is just as it was. Nothing has changed except one little thing has changed. We are sure of what we have experienced. So Buddhism, the practice of Buddhism is based on experiencing things, observing things, understanding things, but not understanding that in the way that we are used to, in a way that we know. I mean, the way, you know, at university, if it could be taught at university, I mean, why to sit here and go through all this pain and fear? why go through all this hassle? Yeah? If you just could simply click understand it. Because this kind of understanding is different from the kind of understanding that the Lord Buddha taught us. The kind of understanding the Lord Buddha taught us was observing. Observe what is happening. Observe the breath. So we start with the breath. Okay. Observe the breath at the tip of the nose. Yeah? And then he said, you know, I mean, once there are no more thoughts, then you get into this state. Yeah? Once it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, then you get into one-pointedness. If you continue observing the breath, yeah? No more thoughts, it becomes quieter, and it becomes more peaceful, and then it becomes utterly still. Yeah? And then we drop into one-pointedness. That's the way he described it. And then he said, but that is not yet the rest. The rest is developing wisdom. Developing wisdom by understanding the five khandhas. So in the first place, yeah, just like we always come to this, yeah, we have to investigate the body. What is the body? Yeah? We so much identify with the body. Or we identify with the feeling, bodily feeling or mental feeling. So that is what we have to investigate until we understand its true nature. Once we understand its true nature, it's the end of birth and death. We are not coming back anymore. Just this simple, yeah? I mean, it sounds so simple. Just understand the true nature of the body. Huh? Get rid of greed and hate that are rooted in the body. And that is the end. You don't come back. And then, only then, have you done 50% of the work. Because you have actually only done one khanda, investigated one khanda with a little bit of the second khanda, and then we go to the mental khandhas, to the nama khandhas, and investigate, yeah? We got rid of greed and hate, you know, that are rooted in the body. Now we have to investigate moha, the delusion. And the delusion are in two khandhas. They're in the khandhas of thought and the khandhas of memory. And they are so intertwined, they are just like the Gordon knot. Yeah? They are so intertwined, it is so difficult to rip them apart, to see each khandha for each other, and to see how they interact, to create this kind of illusion or delusion, yeah? That we live in. We live in this kind of illusion. Yeah? And just these two khandhas create it. Yeah? Once we got rid, once we investigated them thoroughly, and it takes a long time. Think about, you know, think about Lungta Mahabua, you know, who serves as an example for all of us, because we know most of about his kind of practice. Once he went out of Samadhi, where he got stuck for 5 years, yeah, I mean, he investigated the body, and within 8 months, you know, he went through the investigation of the body. But for the investigation of these two khandhas, it took him 2.5 years. Just for these two, just to get rid of this moha, just to get rid of this illusion. Just to get rid. And even then, you know, I mean, it wasn't finished. His work wasn't finished. I mean, he had to go and now was confronted with the master of all. The master of avijja. The master of ignorance. The master of wanting to know, not being able to know. Wanting to understand, not being able to understand. The master that keeps up this universe. Avijja Patya Sankara. Avijja is the condition that all these phenomena arise. Yeah? And that took him 3 months. Just to get down to this little point, to see where this ignorance lies. Yeah? And I mean, everybody can read it. I mean, the talks about this have been all translated in English and now also in German. Yeah? So you can read it. Yeah? It's only the power of being able to observe. The power of sati that shines the light. The brighter the light, the clearer we see. Yeah? And then wisdom for it, the kind of investigation the kind of questions that we have to ask, and the kind of tricks that we have to play in order to get down to the truth. Yeah? But without sati, I mean, you can look at it, you know, like, you know, a dark cellar with lots of different paths, yeah? So, I mean, sati is a flashlight, the bright flashlight, so that we can see all the paths. But wisdom is selecting the right path to get down to, yeah, within this, what is it called?
Maze.
Yeah, to get down to the center of the maze. That's what panya is, you know, to find the right way, the right path to the innermost point of the maze. Yeah. That is panya. But without the strong light, we will not be able to see the path. Yeah. And we always go around in circles. That's what is normally happening in our life. Going round and round and round. Like in a roundabout. Yeah. Or in a roller coaster, what I say, going up and down, just like in a roller coaster. And when you look at the roller coaster, there's no starting point, and there's no end point. It goes round and round. So we go up, and we go down. And there is no spiritual development that only goes up. Yeah? Spiritual development can go up, you know, and then it can go down again. Yeah, it is completely up to you. It's completely up to our own decision, yeah? If we develop ourselves, you know, spiritual in this life, and in the next life just enjoy the fruits of our spiritual development, and then spiritually decline. That is our choice. We have the choice, yeah? To do this or to do that, yeah? So if we are clear in what kind of situation we are, and we are free of aversion and we are free of greed in this moment, that can happen. Then we have an advantage to decide what is best for us. Only that. If there is a little bit of greed or liking and disliking involved, then we most likely make the wrong decision. Yeah? If we are still attached to our body, we are not very much inclined to do body contemplation. We love this body. We like this body. Yeah, I mean, even if it is old, you know, then we dream about a young body. Yeah? We go back in our memories when we were young, you know, creating the illusion our body is always young. Yeah? Of course, the chitta is always young. The chitta doesn't know any age. It's only the body that knows the age. Yeah? So we create, you know, going back in our memories, you know, playing with our memories, you know, and that's what old people love, you know. They take their photo albums, you know, when they were young, you know, and play with that, you know, and the whole day they spent within these memories, you know, just creating the opportunity to be born again, yeah. They try to get rid, you know, of their feelings that they have now, and, I mean, try to understand, yeah, what is old age? Trying to understand the first noble truth of dukkha. Not to understand it, yeah? There's birth, you know, there's old age. And there's sickness and there's death. When we are sick, you know, I mean, look at that, you know. How do we handle a situation when we are sick? We think, oh, I'm dying, I'm dying. I'm so sick, I'm dying, yeah? 2 days later, there's no more thought of, I'm dying, because we are well again. All the time, you know, when we're so sick, oh, I'm dying, yeah. It's 2 days later, we're well again. Where's the thought of, oh, I'm dying? It's gone. That's how we fool ourselves constantly. Yeah? We don't want to accept the reality of being sick. We don't want to accept the reality of being old. We are old, yeah? Hmm? I'm the director of an old age home, yeah, when you look at here, yeah? We are all old, yeah? And we all, yeah? Mostly all, sorry. Down there the line. There's a younger, old. And we have to realize old age. Because in the next life you go through this again. We go through young age, we go through old age, we go through sickness, we go through birth, and we go through death. And birth and death are really that painful. So painful. I mean, that people, you know, nearly go and die when they are pressed through this narrow tube. Yeah? They all have really red faces when they come out. Yeah? I mean, nearly blue faces, you know, because they nearly die. And when we die really, you know, in old age, you know, then, yeah, I mean, we go through the same pain, but it's a little bit more longer lasting. Yeah? The pain of death. The pain of death. And that's what we are mostly afraid of. We're not afraid of going to another, yeah, to another realm of existence. Yeah? Only if you know we go to hell, then of course we are afraid. Yeah? We are afraid of the pain, of the long-lasting pain of death. And it can be long-lasting. It can be combined with sickness. Yeah? But even if it is not combined with sickness, it is the death where everything rips apart. Everything that we put together, all the elements in the body rip apart. Yeah? And when we go and investigate dukkha vedana, investigate painful feelings, we can go through these three stages of death. And once we went through these three stages, I mean, we are free of this fear. And we can, in the moment of death, decide where we can go. Which way to go? Because we have all these roads to choose from. The roads of our karma that we created. So we can choose them because we are not driven by pain that makes us, oh, this pain, I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying. Yeah? So we're driven by this pain. Yeah? We think of a way out, you know, and then we take the first exit. We don't wait for the second exit to come. We take the first exit, and this first exit is the exit of our strongest karma. Everybody does it, yeah? Except for the person who understands what pain is. And then has the freedom to choose. Oh no, this exit doesn't look nice, and I take the next one. That doesn't look nice, you know? And then he can even go back, you know, if he said, the last one, it's not up, you know, I don't want to go there. And then he looks at all the exits and says, okay, I take this one. Now, when we are in pain, we take the first exit. Exit up. Boops, gone. So that's why we have to, dukkha vedana, huh? Painful feeling. That's why we do have to investigate the painful feeling so that we are in the moment of death, that we are able to decide where to go. Yeah? Because we cannot be sure. Yeah? Even if we create a whole lot of good karma in the last 10 years, yeah? Just a memory about a deed, you know, that we really are sorry about it 50 years ago can drive us to the first exit. Then we just take this exit. This memory, you know, this, go there. Yeah. Understand the importance of it. And I think it's a good time, you know, to stop the talk or to the end of your talk. Yeah. Be aware. Investigate the kavedana so that at the moment of death, we are free to choose which way to go. If you don't understand what is pain, we are not free. We are just taking the first exit. And the first exit is the exit, normally the exit of our strongest karma. Yeah. It's just like in life. Normally we go the path of our strongest karma. But, yeah, see, I mean, some of us decide in midlife crisis or late life crisis to go another path. We always have these paths around us, but normally are driven, yeah, by the speed of our karma and miss the exits. Yeah? But some of us, you know, gathered here, yeah, in the old age home, yeah. It's really funny. I like it. Director of the old age home. Okay, so I'll take it to heart, yeah? And now we're going to meditate a little bit.